Are you ready to be who your soul wants you to be? Are you ready to create a joyful life? You came here to make a difference in the world, and you can do it. We can show you how. Move beyond the basics of health and wealth and into a life of lasting joy with Lynn McGonigal, the founder and teaching channel of the Lightworkers Healing Method, right here on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Listen in as Lynn and her inspiring guests talk about what really matters in life and be who your soul wants you to be.
Welcome, friends. Welcome to Be Who Your Soul Wants You to Be. I am Kristen Corey, your guest host, and I'm here today with Lynn McGonigal, the founder and teaching channel of the Lightworkers Healing Method, and Jazz Muheen from the Embassy of Peace. You're listening to a live Dream Vision 7 radio network broadcast at 1510 a.m. NBC Sports Radio Boston, heard live every second Sunday at 6 p.m. You can also tune into our show on our station's Dream Vision 7 radio every week on Thursday and Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. To learn more and for a full station schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Friends, we are all spiritual beings having a human experience, and today we are here to talk with Jazz Muheen from the Embassy of Peace and Lynn McGonigal, the founder and teaching channel of the Lightworkers Healing Method, about being emissaries of the light. Jazz Muheen, welcome.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be beaming into Boston through a
stereo. Now, as I understand it, you live on light. You bring a new possibility.
I'm nourished by essence. You know, I loved your beginning of this show saying, you know, being who our soul wants us to be. And that's been my research all these last 40-odd years that I've been meditating is, you know, what is our being as a soul being capable of? And what I discovered quite unexpectedly is that it can give us nourishment physically as well as emotionally, mentally, and spiritually as well. So it's been a fabulous discovery.
And so do you not eat food at all?
No, I would like to say, and this is something in our research and the way that we're educating now into this field of opportunity, is that we are all nourished. If a body has to be nourished, you have to eat. We just eat from the inside out rather than the outside in. In other words, our essence energy, our soul, I am presence, higher self, or what people call the monad or whatever, it has an amazing source of nourishment for us as it's constantly flowing through us. So we're always eating. We just eat differently.
That's so amazing. Now, what is it like? What is your way of being in the world?
Look, it's fabulous. My interest was never in this, I must be honest, right up front. But I've done, like many people over the last 40 years of my own meditations, I've done a lot of different initiations that were designed to allow me to experience more of my own divine nature. And one of these I did in 93, and it was a sort of initiation that just took away all my hunger, including the physical hunger. But I kind of feel like it was like a cosmic experiment, you know, a new way of human evolution, a different way of being. You know, like if you could imagine people all around the world praying, saying, good God, how do we feed everybody? There's more and more people coming. You know, how can we take care of the children in our world? The fact that every 2 seconds a child is dying of hunger-related diseases, does it really have to be like this? Can't we live in peace? And all this. And I think in response to all these prayers, then new information comes from the quantum field and for us, and this is what we receive, just a way of being less dependent on external resources and more dependent on internal resources. So the bottom line is increase your chi or your prana levels, and you get healthy, you get happy. And this happened to be a very extreme byproduct. You know, and it's so interesting because, you know, once you get over the shock, I said, wow, what's happening in my body? What? My body can do this? Once you get over that, it's like, well, I'm not using all this energy for digestion. Where's it going to go? You know, and it goes up to support supporting other capabilities we have as divine beings in form. You know, it increases our creative abilities, gives us more mental clarity, gives us more energy, because, you know, I call it cosmic microfuel, and it's the most supreme fuel ever created for a human system to run on. It's like, you know, super petrol, standard petrol or super petrol, and this is super petrol, and, you know, there's no insecticides or pesticides or genetic modification, so it's really pure fuel for the body. It just has limitless benefits. It's absolutely fabulous.
My goodness. Now, we also have Lynn McGonigal here, the founder and teaching channel of Lightworker Healing Method. Lynn, how does this intersect with your work in the world?
Oh, I've been listening to this with fascination. And to me, how this fits into the way that we explain these same phenomena are what we call the upward rising earth energy, how we can live inside of a pillar of light, drawing up adequate energy from the planet, from the galaxy, from the universe itself, from beneath us, as well as from source above, and in such a way create a pillar of light through us and around us, through us and through our lives, in which we can live our entire lives in sacred space, and nothing happens to us or from us other than through spirit. Not my will, but not anyone else's will either. Just divine will. Just divine will shall play out in this life. And in these ways, I find, actually for us in North America, often the big problem is we get chubby. This is a problem that we have in our society, is that people have a problem with too much weight rather than with starvation. And it is true that every 8 seconds a child dies of starvation, and that is wrong. And that when we add in the illnesses that spin out of starvation, it's every 2 seconds, and it's wrong. And so learning to master the energy for sustenance is very, it's crucial in the underdeveloped nations where starvation is a real issue. However, I live in North America. I live in North America, where people are struggling with weight loss all the time. That it's just this big thing for most adults in North America, that they feel too heavy. And so the way it's manifested in my life, running this amount of energy through a physical body, is that I can be 120 pounds. And Kristen, you've seen me eat. How would you describe my eating style? Do I eat like a horse?
Yes.
I eat a lot of food, right?
Mm-hmm.
More than, probably a lot more than most 55-year-old women, right?
Certainly a lot more than one would think you would by your size.
Right. And it's because I run so much energy through my system that my body just stays however it's supposed to be. It stays trim and strong. I can curl 20-pound weights. I'm a 55-year-old skinny woman. I shouldn't be able to do that.
Quote, unquote.
Right.
Now, Jasmuheen, you're in Australia, yes?
Yes, yes.
And
having
so
summer.
What are the social ramifications there? How do people react to the message that you are bringing?
Look, it's interesting. I receive guidance from the beings that I work with on the inner plane, and that very much right from the beginning was not to work in my own country, but to use my country as a time of rest, a place of rest. Like as Lynn just said, she's 55. I can see 60 coming up in front of me, and I'm a grandmother now. And it's
oh,
so
congratulations.
Lovely just to be able to, hey? It's lovely just to be able to spend time with my husband here and my children and grandchildren. And so nobody really knows me or what I do or anything. It's a very quiet, yogini-type life that I live here. But when I travel, of course, we get all sorts of reactions. And 20 years ago when we became public with this, it was very difficult on many levels because you're introducing a field of possibility that people perhaps in the West hadn't been introduced to before, and that is that there is an alternate way of being nourished. You know, as we are in this column of light, as we are aligned to our own divine nature, when it is very, very strong within us, then its radiation can feed not just us, but also those around us. So I have responses like people who spend time regularly with me when I'm traveling, they stop eating naturally because I never think about breakfast, lunch or dinner, and it just seems to move out of their field of thought as well. And many people are pre-programmed to do this, and what I mean by that is it's a new wave of evolution. Our young children coming in, their neural pathways are wired a little differently. We have the indigo children, the crystal children, other children who intuitively are eating a lot light, more likely, more raw food, drinking more. They're not so interested in a heavy diet. We have obesity in our country as well as in your country, and that's becoming a global epidemic. But, you know, when we tune more into the divine essence energies, we find we're not so emotionally hungry, we're not so mentally hungry, and we certainly tend to lose our physical hunger after a while, especially if this is in our natural blueprint, to be part of this new evolutionary trend. And we never say to people, look, stop taking physical food. We just simply say, now, perhaps you can look at supplementing your diet. Take some of the chi, that pranic flow that's always with us and moving through us, and take physical food for pleasure so that you're moving within the world and using planetary resources a little differently, which, of course, then has a knock-on effect with global warming, environmental issues, and all the rest of it as well. So this reality has huge impacts on our environment and also on our health. And, you know, when people understand this and they're open to this field of education possibility, there's no negative reaction. It's just when people aren't educated into this reality in the full spectrum and they just heard a rumor about people who say they don't need to take physical food. And but when they take the time to investigate, they go, that's an interesting field of possibility. Well, I wonder if it is true. No? Mm-hmm. So just education. Education removes fear because it removes ignorance. And it's just, you know, like remember when we all used to think that the sun revolved around the world or the earth is flat, and then someone came along and challenged that. But eventually it became a reality and accepted thinking. And 20 years on, this is far more accepted when people have been educated into this possibility.
And Lynn, what is your reaction? What do you find is the reaction to you when you present these energetic concepts into the world?
I think I have to agree with Chaz that it really depends on the person who's on the receiving end of the talking. There are, of course, the people who are coming from the mainstream of society who think we're somewhat demented, probably, when we say, look, these are the things that are possible. All things are possible. There are truly no limits. Anything can be healed. Anything physically can be healed. All mental issues can be healed. All emotional issues can be healed. Spiritual issues, financial issues, interpersonal issues can all be healed. And here's how we do it. We become channels for divine healers, higher dimension beings, guides, angels, light beings, who are here to make a change in the world. Now is the time of the awakening. It's time for us to stop looking to the people around us and start to look up to Source and to the planet beneath us, and to live in such a way that we're a bridge from Source to the planet, that we're cells in the biosphere of Earth, which of course we all are, part of the oneness of Earth. There's really only one of us here. And when we give up this illusion of separateness and claim the fact that we're truly all one, miracles happen. They happen daily in our presence and in our lives. Now, some people say, well, it sounds to me as though you should really see a psychiatrist or something like that. And other people at first, there's another pattern that's actually fascinating to watch play out. Many people seem to say, oh, that sounds fabulous, and they come and they sit in our classes, but they seem to expect for us to be somehow faking it in some way, and that we will then be okay with them faking it. And I say to them, you can go any place that you want if you want to fake it, other than in this room, any place else, because here we're doing it for real. And so we're really doing it, and we're going to call you into your greatness. Also, we're going to help you do it. You can learn to do this. We can all learn to do this. It's a teachable, learnable skill. But we won't let you fake it. And at that point, many people get very upset. And they say things like, fundamentally, one way or another, they say, no, you're wrong. You're wrong.
Well, this brings up a good point. Jasmine, do you find these concepts, what I find as the awakening continues is that people who are extremely tied to earth plane or things they've been taught in their younger life are beliefs that hold on so tightly, like a grip vice. And it seems to me like the idea that the body needs to eat would be something akin to a belief in gravity holds us onto the planet. So do you find that people are sometimes willing to believe conceptually and yet unable to sort of give in to the actual practice of this?
I love grace. You know, I'm a girl who's addicted to divine grace. When I was 16, I sat in meditation, and the first day I meditated, my whole body exploded with light and love, and I became addicted to that. And I was working with an Indian system of meditation, and, you know, they always said, look, you cannot capture grace. And what I realized as time went by is, no, you can't, but you can put yourself in the channel where grace flows the strongest. And I love grace. Grace is what brings to me in my gatherings people who are open and ready for this. For example, 98% of people who come to be with me when I travel in the world, they've been long-term meditators, and so they've experienced this divine love, this divine light, this divine power, this guidance. They're long-term vegetarians who, like me, have played with dietary response on the body. When I was 13, for a while, I was living on an apple a day because it felt great for my body. I wasn't anorexic. I was just experimenting on how my body felt. Did my body like eating meat compared to a vegetarian diet? I found vegetarian diet was better for the way my physical system functioned. Did my body prefer me to do yoga and regular exercise compared to not doing this? I found my body responded better when I did yoga and regular exercise. How did my system feel when I meditated compared to when I didn't meditate? So the people I connect with are very much open, intelligent, wise, loving people. They're interested in self-mastery. They don't give their power away to anyone. They're open to experiencing what their true human potential is, or their true potential as a divine being in form. They've experienced who they really are in meditation, and now they've come to that next level of saying, wow, well, I know the divine voice of wisdom, because when I follow my intuition, my life's great. I know the divine flow of love because I felt it in meditation. And now I'm open to this faint possibility of whether it can also take away my physical hunger and nourish me in a different way. Because as I said before, everybody needs to eat. It's just a matter of what source of energy you're being nourished by. And so, you know, for me, it's a fascinating journey now, because the grace, that beautiful energy that always supports something that is beneficial for human evolution, that's the flow that tends to bring the right people to come and hear about this when they're ready. And if somebody's at that stage where they go, this is rubbish, this woman's deluded, she's a fraud, and all that stuff, they tend to just stay away, you know. They don't come up close. They tend to sort of gossip around the periphery and spread a bit of misinformation, and that's okay. You know, they're not ready for this, so that's fine. But, you know, when things are divinely supported, they get supported. When things are divinely meant to be, they get supported, and the right ones come. And, you know, this whole journey is really a journey of just joy and ease and grace, if we want it to be. It doesn't have to be a struggle, even bringing in new educational paradigms.
Mm-hmm. This is fascinating, and I look forward to hearing more about it We are going to be going to a break shortly, so Lynn, in a minute or less, how do you find people react to some what can be really extraordinary new concepts in the work that you do?
I think the first reaction is like a blast of hope. It's, oh, my goodness, if only, if only, if only. And then some people say yes, and they start to take the steps. And then and some of them will keep taking the steps all the way to the point that, as you have, Kristen, all the way to the point that they themselves have learned how to truly become a portal from the higher dimensions so that the guides and the angels and the light beings can work through them to create miracles. And then miracles do happen for them in their lives and in their presence and in the lives of the people around them. And that is a beautiful and that's the biggest joy of my life, to watch those people grow and become. And then some other people will come along part of the way and then find the place at which they would like to plateau, and that's also fine. It is. It is. So I think that people can engage with miraculous possibilities of divine grace at whatever level they're ready to engage with it in. And different people have different capacities for engagement with grace. Does that make sense?
It does. It makes a lot of sense.
And also, too, I think, if I can just add one more thing before the break, you know, I think there's what I call pre-encodements. Like, I'm an energy field scientist, and it's nice to be right-brained and talk about love and grace, but I like mathematics, and all of creation is run by mathematics, and everything's encoded. And there are people who are pre-encoded to do certain things. And when you are pre-encoded to bring a gift to humanity, or, you know, because being on this planet, we are gifted by the Earth, by being here. The Earth teaches us many things. Density teaches us many things. But we also come to add to that as well. And when we are pre-encoded to do things, then that inner teacher, that inner guru, the divine one within, will make sure that we're in the right place at the right time to receive and to share exactly what's required.
Wonderful. Well, we are just heading into a break, and I would look forward to hearing more about pre-encodement when we return. You are listening to Be Who Your Soul Wants You to Be, and I'm your guest host, Kristen Corey, here with Jaz Muheen from the Embassy of Peace and Lynn McGonigal, the founder and teaching channel of the Lightworkers Healing Method. You please stay tuned, because we've got lots more, and you can be who your soul wants you to be. In just a few minutes, we'll be back for more.
Are you ready to be who your soul wants you to be? Join Lynn McGonigal, the founder of the Lightworkers Healing Method, as she and her amazing guests show you how to move into a life of lasting joy. Miracles happen every second Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Hasn't your soul already waited long enough? Life. We can either be bystanders or creators. Now is the time to awaken to your divine identity and the power of the I Am within to create a joyous and fulfilled life, no matter what your circumstances are. There are answers to life's big questions, and there is a spiritual path that leads to soul liberation and ascension. Join us every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for Prophets for the New Age with Carl and Nancy Showalter on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Mm-hmm. Greenlock is the place to go for horse therapy you should know. We use the horse, they do the trick, to help you talk and walk and skip. The horse's movement builds your muscle. It also makes you laugh and chuckle. To do our job, your help we need. To run the farm and buy our feed. To help us out, just double click on greenlock.org. Do it quick.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Welcome back. You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at 1510 a.m. NBC Sports Radio Boston. I'm Kristen Corey, the guest host to Be Who Your Soul Wants You to Be, and we are here today with Jazz Muheen from the Embassy of Peace and Lynn McGonigal, the founder and teaching channel of the Lightworkers Healing Method. When we left before break and during break, I had the pleasure of listening to these lovely women talk about pre and codements and soul contracts. And actually, I'm interested to share with you listeners that both of these women have come to become emissaries of light and following their own spiritual path and bringing their spiritual message to the world from quite varied backgrounds. Jazz Muheen was a computer programmer, and Lynn was a CPA. So I'd be interested in talking with you both about how you bring your backgrounds into the language that you use for these what we call pre-encodements or soul contracts. Jazz Muheen, would you like to continue on with the pre-encodements we were talking about before the break?
Yeah, you know, I find that everything we learn, nearly everything we learn in life, we use at some point. And, you know, I was a mom and a career woman. I worked in banking and finance, and my background was a lot to do with computer programming and making rich people richer, which was a very interesting career. And when I was guided to move more into the metaphysical reality on a public level, I found all sorts of different people came to be with me, from monks and priests and Buddhists and Christian people and Jewish people and skeptical people and all sorts of people who were suddenly fascinated by this woman claiming that this divine force inside us all that is breathing us and giving us life, even had the capacity to physically nourish the human body as well, so that we have freedom of choice regarding where we want to take our nourishment from, and so that we can be less mentally hungry and more at peace emotionally. And so I found that in order to connect with the audience, it was just easier, especially such a varied audience, because we didn't want to alienate them by using, you know, New Age terms or Christian terms or Buddhist terms, because, you know, it was such a diverse audience. We just found it was easier to talk in computer programming terms. And, you know, so I always used to say that God is like the mainframe and we are all these little personal computers plugged in, like little laptops. And when Jesus said, I and my Father are one, it was just like saying we share the same software programs. And this living on prana is not a diet. It's got nothing to do with physical diet. It's got to do with the spiritual reality of allowing ourselves to be who we really are, beyond the mind, beyond the personality, beyond our conditioning and programming from society, instead to go right back to that pure energy force that's always flowing through us and pick up what it's carrying. And it's carrying encodements and wisdom and knowledge and plans almost that can manifest through us according to these encodements, according to what we've agreed to do before, what some people would say we came into physical embodiment. And so it's really fascinating to just go back to that source energy and be in stillness and be in silence, rest there and hear its wisdom and let it guide us and also let us nourish us on all levels. And, you know, it is just an energy flow that, you know, you do A, B, C according to the universal law of resonance and you get D as a result, which is quite mathematical, quite simple.
Now, Lynn, you have a similar belief, although you don't call them encodements, and I'd be interested to know how your language came out of your background as well.
Well, the language I use over and over to begin the conversation is that we're all spiritual beings having a human experience and that our souls have a plan for our lives before we're born. And then we're born and it's harder than we thought it was going to be. We knew the plan was going to have challenges, but we expected to win. We're born, it's harder than we thought it was going to be, and our lives get off track. I start with that opening sentence because it's familiar to many members of the listening public, usually. Spiritual beings having a human experience is a sentence that's been heard before. In other ways, I also begin with business phrases that are familiar because I was a CPA with a specialty in business. That was my expertise. Yeah, I was a partner in a CPA firm, and my specialty was business, not individuals, not trust, businesses. So we talk about beginning with the end in mind. Keep in mind what we're really trying to do here. We're trying to accomplish our soul plan. Now, the terminology that I use most of the time in discussing a soul plan is a soul contract, and how this contract looks to me very much like the contracts that I worked with for 20 years in my business career, and that's that there's a little table of contents with the high points, and these are the things that don't ever change throughout the life. We're here to, different people, of course, have different high points, but they might fall along the lines of compassion, endurance, understanding, trust or faith in spirit, etc., humility. Those types of things are on the front page of the contract, and those things don't change. If somebody's come into a body to work on the ability to tell the truth, to live with integrity, to have humility, and to have faith in spirit, their lives are built around that, and then the details of the contracts come into play, and the details are changeable because this is a free will universe. And yes, before we're born, we form plans with others. We say, look, you'll be born in Australia, and I'll be born in the States, and we'll hear about each other, and 55 years later, we'll have a conversation. But it's a free will universe. And so sometimes people don't respond to that, and that's totally okay. It's totally okay. And then the plan must change in its details. And therefore, that's what makes it interesting. That's what makes life this amazing and magical game where it's this combination of destiny and free will choices, you see. And so, yes, we're pre-encoded, but we have the choice in every moment whether or not we're going to live into our potential and live our destiny, or if we're going to say no and play small and stay stuck. We have that.
It's funny though, Lynn. I think you've probably noticed as well, like sometimes there's a global game happening, a global plan unfolding.
Right.
And you know, one of the things that I was guided to leave my career before I actually left it, and I kept saying, no, I have children in private schools, I've got to finish their education, you know, and that takes money and all the rest of it. But because I was meant to be part of a group thing, then everything got stripped away, so that I could show up for the timing of the unfoldment of that plan. Because I noticed in 1992-93, this living on prana reality was downloaded from the quantum field to a woman called Tian Ying in China. She's a Qigong master. And she entered into a state of Bigu. And Bigu with the Chinese and Qigong is the ability to just be fed by Qi from the Qigong practice and no need anymore to take physical nourishment from the outside in because you're getting it from the chi flow inside. Now, at the same time in India was a man called Hiraratan Manek who had been a businessman, and he was guided to go into a practice called solar gazing. And Hira's done a lot of medical testing with this and fabulous work in America.
and he receives all his nourishment directly through the eyes from gazing at the sun in a particular practice that he's an expert in. And so there we had Hira in India, Tianying in China doing Qigong, and our group in Australia doing the same thing. And it was almost like a cosmic marketing plan saying, well, humanity would like to move beyond all these sorts of rhythms they've created into a state where they're better nourished and more compassionate and more caring and kinder and more at peace. So here are different methodologies of increasing prana or the God force or the chi force within them. Let's see which one works, or if they can all work. Or, do you know, it was almost like a cosmic marketing plan, where sometimes in your blueprint you've got to show up at a certain time. And if you don't show up at a certain time, it's almost as if the quantum field and the intelligent universe will rearrange your life until you do show up at the right time, because your soul plan has agreed that you would be part of a group game, not just an individual game as well. So, I mean, we have so much free will in our individual plans, and when we fulfill things and when we learn our lessons of humility and how we learn them, or all these things we need to learn to really deliver what we've come to do correctly. But there's also big global shifts happening all the time as well, and we get the right shake-ups, I've found anyway, you know, to get us in alignment when we need to be. And similarly, when we're complete with something, then it's a different game. The timing's different. You know, once you've received something and you've implemented it and you've anchored it and it's out in the field and it's done, then it's done, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you move on to the next game or the next lesson or the next project or whatever. So it's a fascinating reality working within the quantum field, as I'm sure everyone will agree.
It really is, and it's hard to believe that we're actually already up against our next break. I know, Lynn, that you had a very similar experience to Source sort of reordering your life so that you could step up and meet your pre-encodements and your soul contract as well. So, of course, we see what Jasmine is saying, and we will talk more with these two amazing women when we come back from the break. You are listening to Be Who Your Soul Wants You to Be, and I'm your guest host, Kristen Corey, here today with our guest, Jasmine, and from the Embassy of Peace, and Lynn McGonigal, the founder and teaching channel of the Lightworkers Healing Method. You can find out more about these lovely ladies at jasmuheen, that's jasmuheen.com, and lightworkersmethod.com. You can be who your soul wants you to be. In just a few minutes, we'll be back with more.
Are you ready to be who your soul wants you to be? Join Lynn McGonigal, the founder of the Lightworkers Healing Method, as she and her amazing guests show you how to move into a life of lasting joy. Miracles happen every second Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Hasn't your soul already waited long enough?
Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Join us the third Sunday of each month at 7 p.m. for The Door is Open, Walk Right In, for fascinating discussion topics from Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus, to psychology and tarot, to hypnosis, to strength-based recovery. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Money makes us react. It has a way of eliciting an immediate response. From our home life to our own business environment, money is usually front and center. For CPA Jane Honick and psychotherapist Spencer Melnick, the debate is not about what you do with your money. It's about how you feel, react, and interact when it comes to money. Join us at 6 p.m. on the fourth Sunday of every month to explore the money dynamic, part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Tune in every first Sunday at 6 p.m. for Maximum Success, the Coach Brew Show. You'll learn success strategies to take your game to the next level from performance consultant John Brubaker. Maximum Success explores why winners win and teaches you the keys to peak performance. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais. on the Love by Intuition show, Saturdays 2 to 3 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Saturday, 2 to 3 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
The Massachusetts Soldiers Legacy Fund, MSLF, was founded in 2004 with a simple goal: to provide educational assistance grants to the children of Massachusetts service members who were killed while deployed on operations enduring an Iraqi freedom. With its current resources, the MSLF guarantees a minimum of $40,000, $10,000 per annum, in educational funding to each child of a fallen service member whose home of record at the Department of Defense was Massachusetts. There's no selection process. If an individual is a child of a service member whose service is credited to Massachusetts and whom gave his or her life in Operation Enduring or Iraqi Freedom, that child qualifies for MSLF funds. We're proud to report that we're accomplishing our founding objective thanks to the support of individuals and organizations throughout the United States. To donate, go to mslfund.org.
Are you a healing practitioner or a serious spiritual seeker? Do you want to be who your soul wants you to be and help others do the same? You can learn angelically guided energy healing with the Lightworkers Healing Method. Because its goal is to align us with our soul's life purpose, LHM is both a healing system and a spiritual growth vehicle. You can return to your natural state of joy and fulfillment and help others do the same. It's a skill, not a gift, and nothing is off limits. Are you ready to be who your soul wants you to be? Come to LightworkersMethod.com as taught at Kripalu and the Institute of Noetic Sciences. Course credits are available.
Join us every second Sunday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for the Nurturing Exceptional Children with Dr. Nikki Show, where you'll discover holistic strategies to support children who have learning differences, energetic sensitivities, behavior concerns, and/or heightened intuitive abilities. Through our panel of distinguished guests, you'll receive parenting tips, education strategies, and holistic health solutions that will help these magnificent children shine their inner light to the fullest. This show is a proud member of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
This is Dream Vision 7 radio network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at 1510 AM NBC Sports Radio Boston. I'm Kristen Corey, your guest host of Be Who Your Soul Wants You to Be, and we are here today with Jazz Muheen from the Embassy of Peace and Lynn McGonigal, the founder and teaching channel of the Lightworkers Healing Method. Both these amazing teachers are emissaries of the light, and I'd be so interested in talking to both of you and finding out more about the global plan and how you're helping bring the awakening to the world, to the earth, and hear a little bit more about your work. Jazz Muheen, tell us about your work in the world.
Oh, look, it's interesting. When I look at it on a science level, there was a fabulous book called Power Versus Force by David Hawking, and he talks about the influence we all have in the world through our radiations. And when a person, for example, commits their life to living with wisdom and just trying to be or being the best version of a divine being in form they can be, as soon as they make that commitment and have that call, then their energy flow changes. It's almost as if your essence, divine beingness, becomes stronger because you have that interest. And so what's radiating out of you has the power, just with that commitment,
that without words to influence about 90,000 people, according to his research. And I think, wow. So if just without even talking and not sharing different models of reality or mental realities, if we can just zip it and be it, you know, like really come into that state of oneness with our own pure and perfect nature, then the more we do that and the more connected we are to that, then the greater the field of influence in the world. We become healthy, we become happy, we experience peace, deep commitment, grace in our lives, synchronicity, connecting with the perfect people at the right time. All of this just happens naturally as we go back into an experience of oneness with our true nature. That's that essence energy that is vibrating and flowing through all of creation as something so pure and so perfect. And so it's such a beautiful time to be alive because millions and millions and millions of people around our world are open to this now. And they're meditating on that and their hearts are much purer. And they're calling for deep experiences and consistent experiences of peace. So now when I'm traveling in the world, it's more like parties and celebration. It's more like people just gathering together and just focusing on that thing we have in common that's breathing us and being free with that, being fluid, a lot more music now because the energies have changed. You know, you can almost say the current frequencies are fun, fluidity, flexibility, and doing the things that really make our hearts sing so that the vibrations we're transmitting out into the world are really nourishing the world. You know, they say with the end of the changes at the 2012, the Holy Ones tell me that 6.5 billion people moved into the beginning of true unity consciousness. They really took themselves into alpha brainwave patterns of frequency where there's more creativity and fluidity and flexibility and clarity. And so there's only about 500 million people who are still playing deep in duality because that's what they need to do right now. But as the Divine Ones tell me, if you have a world that is lacking in happiness, give it happiness. If you have a world that's lacking in peace, vibrate peace. If you have a world that is lacking in love and still caught in fear for some people, then vibrate that love, transmit that love. And as we transmit all these energies, we, of course, are so fulfilled and complete, so we're living examples. And I think that's the new energy now, being really fluid, flexible, happy individuals. Individuals content, being living examples, loving this life, falling in love with life. It's brilliant. This, you know, when we ask to see the good in all and the God in all, it's so evident. When we ask to see the kingdom of paradise on earth, the kingdom of heaven, the gardens of Eden, when we really have that intention, the quantum field goes, oh, is that what you want to see? Is that the realm you want to operate in? Okay, here it is. So it's a fun, fun, fun time now. And just loving people and honoring them and respecting them enough to allow them to go through the process as they need, in the timing they need, in the way they need, while still offering this field of possibility for them to step into when they're ready.
Now, Lynn, as a teacher and emissary of the light as well with the Lightworkers Healing Method, I'm sure that you resonate and agree with so much of what Jasmine Heen just said as well. In your work, can you describe to us what your work is in the world and how are you helping bring about the awakening? Whose time has come?
Well, so because we're so short on time right now, I think I'm going to skip that part and say that because Jasmine Heen has already spoken to that, and to say, however, that the angels and the high dimension beings who we are portals for have spoken most consistently about the fact that the time for the awakening is now and that all the slack is out of the schedule and that we must move beyond the search for fun and comfort and go directly to joy, because we must understand that comfort is the near enemy of joy. By aiming for comfort and ease, we in fact often pass up the opportunity for joy, beginning with the end in mind. Joy is the end goal. The purpose of life is joy, and it's up to us to create it. And we create joy in our lives for ourselves and for the world around us by being who our souls want us to be, by living into our potential, by stepping into our destiny rather than playing it small, which is where we can land if we're aiming for fun and comfort. The vibration of the word fun is very different from the vibration of the word joy. The purpose of life have is joy, not fun. Joy, not fun. And the time is now. The time is now. And so people have their own timing, and I agree with that. But also as a planet, the planet has its own timing, and we need to face facts as a global community. It's like the Titanic, and there's an iceberg dead ahead. It's time to pull this ship hard to port. It's time to change course. The slack is out of the schedule. It's time for us all to step into our potential. We can do it. There are people all around us on this planet whose sole plan is that they step up to solve the problems of toxicity, to solve the problems of food shortage, to solve, as Jasmine is obviously working, to solve the problems of water, to solve the problems of these falsehoods of borders that are hindering everything, the flow of humanity, the flow of energy, the flow of animals, the flow of everything is hindered by these false concepts like borders. There's only one of us here. And so our world has problems, has challenges, and there are people all around us whose sole plans are to make a difference. And all we need to do is just have enough of us step up. Not everybody, but enough of us step up to trigger the awakening. It only takes a critical mass, and it could be a very small number of people, and we could be closer than we think. We could be much closer than we think. But let's face facts. Carbon emissions are still going up, aren't they? There isn't an unpolluted lake, river, or stream on the planet, is there? We need to do it now. Now is the time. We can do it. We can do it, but it's time to say this is going to happen now in divine timing, not when we want it to happen.
Yes. We have just a few minutes left. Jasmine, do you have any final words for our friends today?
Yeah, I think, you know, everything that we have both shared today, all of us shared today, is so important and true, and we can end up being divided sometimes with our words. But, you know, I love the word joy, as Lynn said, and when you do feel that joy, it is fun. It is fun, but that doesn't mean, as Lynn said, also, you know, that we slack off in any way, to use an Australian expression. You know, we have things to do here, and one of them is to make the commitment for the right use or the wise use of resources. And that's what our work's about at the Embassy of Peace. When we come into that state of being essence, then we're tapping into a completely different energy resource that naturally changes our consciousness so that we use our global resources more wisely. And the flow-on effect of a wiser use of external resources is that we walk more lightly and more lovingly on Mother Earth. We do pollute far less because there's so much mental and emotional and physical toxicity sometimes in our world that creates problems not just for humanity but for Mother Earth as well. So going more into that internal resource of that pure essence that's breathing us of our divine nature frees the human life wave in so many ways so we can exist in harmony and peace and unity and fulfill our highest dreaming.
Jasmine, thank you so much for being with us today. And Lynn, once again, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us as well. Friends, I hope you have enjoyed our show today. We have been talking with Jasmine, and you can find out more about her at jasmine.com and the work that she's doing at the Embassy of Peace. And, of course, with Lynn McGonigal, the founder and teaching channel of the Lightworkers Healing Method. And you can certainly find out more about the Lightworkers Healing Method at lightworkersmethod.com. You can be who your soul wants you to be. Join us next month on Be Who Your Soul Wants You to Be, and we will talk once again about living in the light. Until then, until we talk again, walk in light, live in light, be light.
Thanks for tuning in to Be Who Your Soul Wants You to Be with Lynn McGonigal, the founder and teaching channel of the Lightworkers Healing Method, and her wonderful guests. We're proud to be a part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network and glad to have you with us. Please join us every second Sunday at 6 p.m. and then come to lightworkersmethod.com for many freely shared learning resources. As we each do our part, the world transforms. And hasn't your soul already waited long enough?
Join us every first Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.